Anyone ever heard of brothers disagreeing with each other? Maybe sisters disagreeing with each other before? We're going to see a little bit of that today. Maybe you never thought Jesus did that. It happened. Let's listen now to the Word of God from John chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see your works that you're doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. Let's pray. O Spirit of God, we pray that for your glory and honor and praise, for the praise of the Father and the Son together with you, we would be fed the very life of Jesus through your word. That we would be built up as a community. That we would be a more fitting temple among which your Spirit resides. In Jesus' name. Amen. TikTok is now the most popular social media platform amongst teenagers and young adults. I don't know, I'm probably saying that everybody is aware of TikTok and what it's like, but I'll give a short sort of review from someone who hasn't really used it that much. But TikTok is just short videos, just short video content where somebody does something funny or impressive or interesting. And as soon as it starts, it's almost done, you know, very short. And then you just flick up to the next one, and then there's another video, and you flick up. You could probably, at this point in time, with as many TikTok videos that are out there, continue flicking through TikTok videos for the rest of your life, and you would die before you were done. There's just a lot out there. A lot of content. A lot of content. And, you know, not everything on TikTok is bad. Okay? Put that out there ahead of time. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. There's certainly, I assume, a lot of good things that are happening through TikTok. But you know it can go wrong. Just like anything can be taken in the wrong direction in God's good world, TikTok can be misused as well. I mean, just think about it. You've got a young lady, or maybe even an older one, who would like the young men to pay more attention to her. Typically in life, it's just not happening the way she would like it. But there is a way that she could get more attention, right? Get more attention from the young men. Make a video of herself in a certain way, you might imagine, where she knows that even if she doesn't actually get to see those boys looking at her, she knows that there will be thousands of possibly, maybe more. And so at least in her own heart, she feels that the attention she wants is increasing. That her importance is rising in the eyes of these young men. Sadly, she gives up her dignity to gain that sort of attention. On the other hand, there are the young men. And they look at the young ladies, or maybe older men looking at the older ladies, they don't see the smile and the attraction that they would want. They don't feel that sense of being liked and respected and honored and even glorified. But when they come across this video of this young woman who set aside her dignity, they also lay aside their dignity to engage in that smile on the other side of the screen. Something fake, yes, But at least it makes them feel that their importance has increased, that they are being honored, that there is some rise of respect and glory and attention. But again, both parties feasting their eyes on one another in a sense, feasting on one another in a sense, only are tearing one another down in their feasting. We can seek to go up, to rise in our sense of importance by feasting on one another. We can go up. We can go up to the feast, as it were, to feast on one another. But I think we all see how it only tears us down. There is a better feast, one that really raises us up. That is the feast we ought to go up to. We're going up to feast on God. Those are our two points today. Going up to feast on one another, going up to feast on God. Let's look at our passage. It begins with a bit of context, right? After this, meaning after Jesus had done his miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus, having a conversation, teaching people about the significance of that miracle, that people ought to feast on him to have eternal life. After this, and we're talking months after, because that time was during the Passover. We're going to find out in a moment this is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's been since, you know, April, May time frame. Now we're in September, October time frame. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He stayed in the north. And you may not know this, but Israel being about the size of New Jersey, you've got the north. And the north was kind of the sticks of Israel, kind of the backwoods. Nobody of real importance, people thought, would be there. And in the south, you had Jerusalem, big city, you know, New York, right? That's where all the big shots are, right? That's where it's really important. Jesus is up there. Nobody's really there of great importance. So anyway, he wouldn't go back in Judea because he knew that the Jewish leadership was, they had their aim set right on him. They're ready to kill him whenever they can get the chance because he healed a man on the Sabbath and made himself equal with God. Now the Jews' Feast of Booths was at hand. Jesus was a Jewish man, he still is, and so it was proper that he would go to the Feast of Booths. Now booths, I don't know, we don't use the word a lot. Anyone seen a phone booth recently? It's kind of like that. You go into a semi-shelter, right? You can talk on the phone in the rain. We can talk about this as tabernacles or tents, like you camp in a tent. If you want it to be really concrete, you could call this the Feast of Campers, like the campers you drive. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what's going on. It's a temporary shelter. Why? Because back when Israel, the people of God, like us, had been delivered out of slavery and brought to Mount Sinai to be given the law of God, they then headed toward the promised land, that land promised to Abraham. And as they headed there, they went through the wilderness. And during that time, just as God lived in a tent, in a tabernacle, in a booth, so also the people did. And God provided for them. A very good time in many ways, but also bad. The people weren't happy with what God provided for them. So often they were sick of the bread that God provided. This feast was also the best attended feast of the year. Maybe you thought that would be Passover. But in Jesus' day, this is the one that everybody wanted to come out to. It was a big feast. Olives and grapes were part of the great harvest that had been made. It was a big party. This is where the people were at. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here. You're up in the sticks. Nobody's seeing you. Leave here and go down or go up to Jerusalem." Now on the map, Jerusalem's down. But if you're on the ground, Jerusalem is up. It's on a mountain. Not a huge mountain, more like a hill for us, but still it's going up. So leave here, go up to Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you're doing, right? You're out here like raising guys up who are in paraplegics, giving them the ability to walk. Okay? Go out and show everybody. What are you doing? For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. Right? Let me put this in kind of modern terms, right? Look, hey, you want to build a messianic business? You want to build a savior business? You want to build a messiah social media platform? Okay? Brother, you're doing it pretty badly. Okay? I'm just saying, there's not a lot of people up here. The people up here aren't that important. All the important people are down there. If you really want to build your business, you got to get out where the people are. And look, you got to go out and show your works of power. You know, do all your miracle stuff, man. Everybody loves that. You're going to build this thing. You're going to have lots of people. Look, if your status is right here, right now, it's going to go up and up and up through the roof, Jesus. Okay? I don't know why you keep doing this stuff up here, but if you just go down there, it's going to blow up, man. So if you do these things, show yourself to the world. And when they said that, they spoke better than they realized. The world is a word that is always negative in the Gospel of John. It is about a world system of relationships, a people who are united in rebellion against God. Jerusalem at that time was a concrete expression of the world. You know, when the brothers said it, they were saying, oh, yo, go show yourself to all the world, right? They didn't realize, it's very ironic, they so perfectly labeled the Jerusalem of that day. A place that was in rebellion against God. And you see the brothers' attitude was characteristic of the very world they thought Jesus should manifest himself to. The way they look at it is, you go up, you literally or metaphorically go up, you gain honor, respect, glory, power, attention, popularity, if you feed off of what these people can give to you. Go seek the glory that man can give to you. Go seek the glory that women can give to you. Go seek the glory that the crowd can give to you. Because that's what feels good in life, is when everybody makes much of you and you're awesome and you feel great. You got all the attention. This is a worldly way to think about conducting a ministry. And it's all about feeding off of other people, getting what you can get from people. And that's why it says, for not even his brothers believed in him. Their encouragement was from a place of blindness and not perceiving the reality of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. All of us, every day, I am convinced, and I hope it's not true of you if you feel like it's not true, we struggle with this mentality. And we always will until we die and go to heaven. What is your life about? Do you live your life to feed off of the praise and attention that other people can give to you? Do you live for that young lady or that older lady to look at you with a smile? And vice versa. It is not what you or that person were made for. and it will only tear you and that person down. We were made for something so much better that Jesus shows us. To go up to the feast, to feast on God. Jesus says, He says to His brothers, He's the older brother here, younger brother's trying to give Him some advice. He says, My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. But your time is always here. What He means by that, there's a depth here we don't have time to explore, but effectively He means the way you guys are thinking. It's the way that the world thinks. And the world sort of is running the show at this time. So your time is always here. Your way of thinking about things, your way of feasting on other people's affections and attention, this is your time. It's always here. My time is not yet, but it's coming. A time when the feasting will be directed in a different and proper direction. He goes on to say, the world cannot hate you. The world is not able. We've heard this language of ability and inability. The world cannot hate you because you think just like them. Everybody in the world thinks this way. But let me tell you, if I was to go and manifest myself in truth to the world hates me. Why? Because I tell the world that its works are evil. Now, without context, that could seem like Jesus is just a mean guy. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus only tells us our works are evil because He wants to turn us to what is truly good. But the world hates Him for that. Manifests Himself to the world. That'll come in time. You go up to the feast. I believe there's a depth to that. He hasn't just gone from really, really deep stuff, you know, to all of a sudden be like, you guys go up to the feast, I'll go later. It's still a solemn teaching here. You guys go up. It is a metaphor because the language here is used of resurrection, of ascension, in the Gospel of John. You guys go up. You guys do your thing. You guys go and try to garner all you can from other people to feel good about yourself. I will not go up to this feast. That is not the feast that I go up to. But I will go up when the time is fulfilled. Oh yes. That coming Passover, Jesus will go up. Not to do ministry the way. And when I say ministry, I mean mom, dad, I mean friend, brother, I mean how you live when you're at school, work, when you play. All of our lives as Christians is meant to do ministry. Jesus says, I will not go up to that feast to minister in the way you encourage me to, but to do the will of my Father when He calls me to go up on a cross. Not to go up in popularity, not to go up in others' estimation of me, but to go up on a cross because I willingly accept humiliation from other people. I willingly accept self-sacrifice for other people. I will go down in other people's opinion in order to put myself in a place where I can love and serve other people. And oh yes, at that feast He will go up. He will go up out of the grave. Yes, at that feast, maybe just a few, 40 days after, Jesus will go up, ascending to the Father, to the highest place, because, my friends, the way to glory is through the cross. And that's what He calls us to as well. To turn from the evil and to turn to true feasting. To feasting upon God. To feasting upon Christ. I mean, that's what this meal is about. On the night that Christ was betrayed, He took the cup and said, this is my blood shed for you. Take and drink, all of you. And that same night, He took the bread and He broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you, that you might participate in my life, that you might participate in my ministry. Yes, that you might willingly enter into humility, that you might willingly be humiliated because you stand in that place to serve and love others and to build them up rather than tear them down. This is the way to human glory.